I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello and welcome to The Regiment, the Early Doors podcast with him.
Oh, that's me, Phil Mealy, and you're doing it different this week. It's usually you and then me.
And then me, Ben Steele. Yeah, I like to keep you on your toes, Phil.
Well, that's it. Yeah, I'm doing, mate.
How are you getting on in this heat? I've just been back for a run and it is, pardon my French, hot as balls out there.
Yeah, no, I don't do running, to be honest with you, mate. I, you know what I mean? I have to be persuaded to do walking, so you know what I mean? But with my knees, I do swimming, so open water. So I'm going on Sunday, actually, so that should be good. But, I'm not one for complaining about the heat. I just think, well, you know, we get how much rain, so in Manchester. Oh, yeah. So it's all good. I'm loving it. And, spend more time outside. You can't help but head for the beer gardens, can you, when it's weather like this? That's the only problem.
I know. It's like a homing pigeon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
or a beacon. Well, today we are talking about episode 4 of series 1. And like last week, when it was a slight change of pace where it was like, I don't know, 6:30, so the pub being open a little while.
Yeah.
This is nearly last orders on a Friday night.
Is it?
So the place is pretty busy. And
what, is there about 6 people in?
No. I mean, you've got Winnie's husband. There's a couple of people at the bar.
Johnny Lee's. Yeah.
Yeah. It's packed, but there's only you and Joe at the actual bar.
Oh, this is the one where he reveals the football card, the winner of the football card.
Yeah.
Is that in this one? Yeah. So, I remember that. Yeah.
The shithouse.
Yeah. WC Bill Cooper.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Exactly. So because it's a Friday night, it's totally different. It's got a different feel about it.
Yeah.
Is that yours and Craig's typical Friday night at the local boozer? Is that what you would like, what it would look like?
Well, obviously it's wine bars and canapes these days.
Of course.
Ben, but back in the day, definitely. Well, to be honest with you, it still is my Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
My Friday night is although it's quite busy where I go, but my Friday night is out with the lads, you know what I mean? So, and it's just, you know, that would have been mine and Craig's thing as well.
Yeah.
I think Friday we'd end up going, because in the pub we used to go in Stockport, we'd had a vault and a room. So Friday night we would venture, you know, we would make an expedition out to the room next door.
Put a shirt on.
Yeah. Because, you know, our dads would do that.
Mm-hmm.
And Craig's dad actually used to suck a lot at the Three Crowns. My dad didn't. But Craigstad was there a lot. All the old boys always had shirts and shirts and ties on when they used to go for a drink, yeah. Particularly Friday and Sunday. I tend to do that a little bit now. I'm not suggesting, of course, that I'm very old now. But like on a Friday, I'll put a shirt and sometimes put a jacket on just because I think, well, it's Friday night.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Exactly. I do exactly the same now, you know, old dog, new tricks and all that thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's when I used to go drinking more regularly, Friday night was a bit smarter and maybe a different pub as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is, you know, because we always, so Friday, we'll go out with the lads, and sometimes, and it's sort of sacrosanct that, you know, nothing touches that Friday night. So that's, you know, we're out with the lads and that's that. But Saturday night, sometimes we'll go, oh, you know, we'll go in. But it's like my mate, he's like, oh, it's full of Texas Rangers. So I'm like, you know, get a lot of strangers, you know, on a Saturday night. I don't like it, sadly. It's full of Texas Rangers. But on Friday, you do get a lot of, I know it's sad but true, a lot of familiar faces in there who come out on a Friday night, and that's what they do, you know. So, yeah. But it's, I love it though. I love it, you know. But where I go now, I just sort of, you know, I could go in on my own, and you know, I always know somebody in there.
You know someone there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's great.
And the other thing that's a bit different in this episode, we start with the cops, and they're both drinking, and they're both looser, and Nigel's having this story about how he rugby tackled someone, and people are going crazy for it. It turns out it's a stag do.
Yeah.
Well, different.
Yeah. Well, I think as well, because it is that, it's funny, isn't it, how a change of time can change everybody's mood. Mm. So, because coming back to me now, because it's like with that episode, everybody in the pub is a bit looser and a bit more kind of giddy. You know, so yeah. It's not sedentary. Is that the right word? It's kind of a little bit more the pace of it, if you can call it pace, but it is up. And even the cops are like, right, you know, they're sort of giddy, aren't they? They're sort of, even though they're supposed to be working, you know, it's Friday night for them. So not, you know, so they seem, they're a little bit more excited as well. Yeah.
Yeah. I actually wrote a note that people seem drunker, obviously could have been drinking longer, but
yeah,
there's a whole, like, you would never drink on set, would you?
Pardon? Well, again, funnily enough, and it's odd that you talk about it, because at the end of the week on a Friday, we would get the props guy to give his reel in the afternoon, get him to give his reel beer. Mm-hmm. I think Craig always got real Guinness, because I don't think he can fake Guinness very well. So, no. But on Friday, he would bang the old John Smith's cans in there, and you know, we'd have a proper drink on a Friday afternoon. So yeah. So we did drink on set, is the answer. Although I'm not so sure whether the insurance company would have been happy to know that, but yeah, we did.
And I wonder, because it's Friday and people were drunker, the crack banter, the ribbon of each other was sharper and quicker, and everyone was doing it. And then Ken was more the butt of the joke than the one giving the joke.
Yeah, yeah. I think because it is that thing, isn't it? You know, you get a bit braver, don't you, when you've had a drink? Mm-hmm. And then you say sort of things that you think. I mean, there's a line in that I remember, and after it's sort of said it and watched it back, I thought, oh, I wish I hadn't said that. Like, I wish. So there's a line there's a line in it. I don't know whether I'm jumping the gun here, but Joan says, I think Ken says, right, this is the last one on the card, Joan. Mm-hmm. I'll let you think it. You can announce the winner and give them maybe a little kiss.
That's right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I shout, if I've won it, throw it back in.
Yeah.
And then which is sort of a funny line. But in the context of it being Joan, I sort of afterwards thought, ooh, that was a little bit, you know what I mean? It is, it, knowing me, not Buffy, knowing me, it is the kind of thing that I would do, because I end up overstepping the mark and go, oh, you know, I, you know what I mean? That I know that I do that. You know, sometimes I'll say something that's just the wrong side of the wire, you know what I mean? It's like, yeah. So, but I think when you've had a drink, you are more, a little bit more free and cutting. You don't think about it. You don't process it as quickly. You don't think about it as quickly, do you? You just sort of, it's in your mind, it's, you know, it's in your brain and it's out before you've even thought about it. And I think that's we're, and because you've had more drinks, you're a bit braver, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's probably where the Saturday morning beer fear comes from.
Yeah. And then you get barred and then you have to crawl back into the, when you go over the top and go, and they say, all right, well, come back in next Friday, but you can't come in for the rest of the week. All right, yeah, okay.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the coppers have loads of little lines in this one. They mention raiding the wrong house. Now, before I moved into my first house with my then girlfriend, now wife, that happened 2 doors down.
Really?
Like a couple of years before we moved in.
Yeah.
But not the same as in the wrong house. The person had moved.
Right.
And it was, it's just one of those stories from the street.
I know, it's a nightmare. I mean, I've had that. I've had bailiffs coming round to my house. And it wasn't the right mealy. And it's like, you know, I said, my dad lives up the road. And, you know, it is that thing where, but the cops, I mean, you know, that's typical of the cops. They've not really checked anything out, have they? Just thought, yeah, we'll just, you know, we'll go steaming in there because that's probably right.
Yeah, because there is two great lines. That was the first one from Nigel. Well, there's plenty of clerks in the phone book.
Yeah.
And he mentions the helicopter. Bloody
hell, nobody uses that anymore.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Mentions the helicopter for kids' parties. And it's one of the first times that Ken's mentions putting the gas back on and Eddie and Joan losing their jobs and having nothing really. But before the go, they're sharing the Blueys and the Bluey list.
Oh, yeah.
And they have the Lord of the Rings. It's like, oh, no, that actually is Lord of the Rings. It's crap.
Yeah. Well, do you know what's really weird about that bit? What's really weird about that, Ben, is so we came up with a few and then some were actual films. Mm. So I think we had, I don't know, you'll be able to correct me on it, but I think did we have Saturday Night Beaver? Is that?
Yeah,
that's one of them. Did we have Clitty Clitty Gang Bang?
Harry Potter was one of them.
Yeah, there's Mary Potter and the Philosopher's Bone. I was quite particularly proud of that one. But I think we come up with Clitty Clitty Gang Bang, which we couldn't use, maybe, because this one of them existed.
Mm-hmm.
We knew that there was, what was the other? Oh, I can't remember. What was the other one we tried to use? Anyway, we also thought the Ham Shank Redemption. Right. But we got the thingy right, that there is actually a Bluey called the Ham Shank Redemption.
Really?
Now, I cannot, I'm to this day, and I've looked, and I've researched, Ben, but I can't believe there's a film called that. But our team, who like, you know, did all the research, said, no, there's one called the Ham Shank Redemption. I cannot, but anyway, yeah, so we couldn't use that. So I'm not quite sure we knew there was Shaving Ryan's Privates. I think that was, I think that one exists. But yeah, it was really, But I mean, I must admit, I do love that when it gives it, oh, I like the look of this one, Lord of the Rings. Oh, that's the real one, Phil. I've seen it, it's crap.
So I can imagine. I have attempted a couple of times to write screenplays and stuff to varying degrees of shit.
Yeah.
And they are Snap. Fun to do. They are fun to do. But I bet you, I might be talking wrong, those scenes where you're making up like daft names for Blueies and stuff, are they the funnest to write?
Oh, like
you
yeah.
and Craig just having a laugh. They try to outdo each other.
You know, you just all you just keep, you're just throwing different ones out. And you start, mm-hmm. you know, we probably spent, I'm going to say half a day, but probably a week. just thinking of different ones. Incidentally, that is actually based on, I mean, a lot of the stuff for the cops you just made up, but that the actual story about the Blueies mm-hmm. is true. My dad had a mate who was in the CID, and he told me that story. He said that he used to, I can't say his name, obviously, but he yeah. used to, said, you know, they'd say, look, you know, have a look at that. But, you know, we've got a lot of these porn DVDs, but we need it back on Monday because it's evidence in court on the Tuesday. More or less that. So mm-hmm. more or less, you know, but yeah, so that's absolutely, that's where the idea for that came from.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Yeah, but when we're, you know, when you're doing something like that, and you just sort of get on a roll with it, you know, so it's just really funny. And even, you know, you have loads of crap ones that you come up with, and then you look through your list and think, oh yeah, well, that's, what's the best ones we've got so far? But I don't even remember coming up with I do love the Lord of the Rings. And the way he says it's like he's really kind of salacious, isn't he?
Yeah.
Well, that's a real one. It's crap. The way he dismisses it, like he's a, you know, it's like Barry Norman on Film Review.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the other thing with the coppers, and this is probably one of the most liked clip on the early doors clip feed, is the divorce conversation. Don't talk to me about divorce. And it's the the kids should give them the fingers, and got divorced on the Friday, back on the Saturday, and the win the lottery and giving it back.
I think as well, we with the cops, we the cops become more and more difficult to write for, actually, because mm-hmm. there's only so many capers and stuff that they can get into. Do you know what I mean? You're exploring areas where, what couldn't they have done this week? What could they have messed up? Mm-hmm. And I think I've said before, I think with the cops, you know, we wanted to know a little bit more, try to get to know a little bit more about them, rather than they just being the bumbling cops, if you like.
Yeah.
So, I'm just like the idea, because Phil always seems, you can imagine, Nige is the more softly approach, isn't he? You know what I mean? He's the more, if it's good cop, bad cop, you know that Nige is a good cop and Phil's the bad cop.
Yeah.
Because Phil's got that, he's got that intense sort of gaze at some points, hasn't he? So I just, the fact that his wife's gone and everyone's giving him the V's, and it's the kids as well in his car, in my own bloody car.
That I pay for.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, there's lots of blokes who've got divorces that have them conversations.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not me, of course. I'm not bitter. But, but yeah, you know, there's lots of people who will, you know, and it's just that, he's gone the extra miles, hasn't it? It gets, you know, I think with him, he says that it gets petty, though, doesn't it? And then he's got his mate to, so I've got one of the lads to snap her aerial off. He's letting the tires down next week.
Yeah.
I mean, he's still petty.
Yeah, but it's brilliant, though.
Yeah, well, it's just that thing, isn't it? I had a dispute with a copper one time. Which I won't go into, but anyway, it lasted quite, it was a neighbour. And you just know that those kind of people, I'm not saying all cops, but certain cops or people in the army or that kind of thing, can't let it go, cannot feel like they've been taken advantage of, like have to have that last sort of moment, you know what I mean? And I think that's what he's doing when he's, you know, when he's, you know, he's got to get back at us somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But over another. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's, yeah. And that line, an old landlord, in fact, Ken, the landlord, because so the landlord, it's not based on any particular, but it is, there are elements of a bloke called Ken Dixon, who was the landlord in the Elizabethan, where we used to go as well. And that actually is one of his lines. I think he said it was like winning the pools and giving it back.
The pools as well.
We were laughing. And then we just thought, oh, yeah, well, we'll cut. But it's a great line. It's a fabulous line.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So it really, it's a tribute that to him, I think. But, it is that thing of knowing a little bit more about them. I love that.
Mm-hmm. And the Friday nightness, if that's a word that we spoke about, you do get to know about more about the cops. So they mentioned the helicopter, the Blueys, the divorce, the gas from Gyro Jim, as in they get the gas or the dodgy tickers as well.
Yeah.
And then, so you get loads that they're a bit more free and easy, if you will.
Yeah.
You and Duffy, you are Duffy. You and Joe are at the bar this time.
Yeah.
Is that like another Friday night thing? As in, like, we're not sitting down this tonight, we're standing up, because you drink faster when you stand up. Everyone knows that. So was that a conscious thing? And then Liam comes in. And we'll get into that in a second. but is that just a conscious thing, standing at the bar on a Friday night?
I think because it was a Friday night and there's quite a few more people in, I think that we felt like, you know, and I do this as well, because we're there all week and we know we can stand at the bar and chat to Ken in between times and have a bit of a laugh. You know, there's something about being a regular, sad but true, is that you do tend to gravitate towards the bar and you just think, well, you know, I'll stand here for a while. You get more drink because you're there more or less all the time. And you can have the crack with whoever's there as well, your little circle of people, like me and me and Joe, you know. So I guess the answer to that is, I think it is something that, because there's a lot more people in, we are, and we gravitate to, it's not like we can shout across the room then, is it, to Ken and give it, hey, Ken, blah, 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 or take the piss out of him. We've got to be there to do that. And as well, there's a bit of a kind of, there's like a hierarchy thing, I think. If you stood at the bar and chatting with a landlord, everybody know, you know, it's like that stupid theory of being a bit self-important. Like, you know, yeah, you may come in here on a Friday, but I think you'll find that we are spending our lives in here. So we're far superior than you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
We're wasting our lives away in here. So I think we deserve credit for that. It's that kind of stupidity. But there is something about that.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah.
So, Duffy and Joe, you and Craig, the first thing you talk about is giving up, Joe giving up the ciggies. Is this like a running thing with Craig? Like, as in, is he always trying to give up smoking or?
Well, he didn't really smoke, Craig. I mean, he used to bump cigs off everyone when he fancied a ciggy every now and again, but he wasn't a proper smoker. I was back in the day. So up until my ex got pregnant with our eldest, we both smoked. So then because she gave up, I thought, I will do in support. So, but you're always, you know, I'd been giving up, you know, it's that thing is where if you've ever smoked, it is hard to give up. I don't care. You know, people who haven't smoked, you're killing yourself and this, that, and the other, and I get all that.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes, you know, you're trying, you can't, and you're out with somebody and this, that, and the other. Thankfully, I managed to, you know, I kicked it, 20 years ago. But no, longer than that. But you know, so it is that thing where I don't know. We just got. I don't even know where the idea came from. It'd be one of those things. Because all our stuff really is based on conversations you hear.
Yeah.
You know, or experiences you've had. So, you know, it's all, you know, the bad news, aren't they? Just, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I can't even remember. What does he say in that? I can't remember what he said. I forgot.
Well, this is, I wrote this down. Yeah. You'll always smoke as long as you've got a hole in your ass.
Yeah. Which, what a beaut- how poetic.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's hard to write a line like that.
Yeah. I'm not sure Shakespeare would agree with you there, but I'll take it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's that thing because he's like, "Well, yeah, I'm going to give up," and you just think, and then I think he says, "Hey, I've given up millions of times at some point."
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it is that thing where you just, you know, you've got all good intentions, and you just think, "Nah, you won't."
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Liam squirms back in.
Yeah.
He said a couple of liveners at the Oak.
Has it been raining in that episode?
Yes, well? It has. Yeah, that's right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought so, because we like the idea of him coming in a bit like a drowned rat, really.
Dishevelled.
Yeah, dishevelled, because obviously he's gutted that she's ditched him because we've given him that great, you know, relationship advice, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We've been there giving him the Marjorie Proops the week before, aren't we? Saying, you want to do this, you want to do that. Just landed him in this. And he's obviously been out, you know, and he's pining for her. And he's it felt like a really good image of him coming in, which I think it was actually, because he looks a bit bedraggled, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he's kind of like playing with his collar.
Yeah.
A bit, he's a sucker for punishment, though, because he comes straight to you.
Yeah.
And you both give him shit advice again.
No, yeah. Well,
keep him mean, keep him keen.
Yeah.
Buy it's all that Clapton stuff. Or Chris Rea.
Yeah. Chris Rea, yeah. But it is that, you know, you do get people giving you... I mean, in the pub where we go at the moment, there's a guy who he's always trying to give me dating advice. If I'm, he's German. He's, don't try to be too funny for him. That's the problem. Don't be funny. Be a serious guy and all this. And yet, he lives at home in the room above.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
His wife and her boyfriend. So quite who he is, but you always, they're the people who come out and give you the, so it's like us, our relationships are completely broken, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
But we think we're the experts for some strange reason.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, deluded. But I think he just comes to the bar hoping to catch a glimpse of her, but unfortunately, yeah, we're stood at the bar and we're giving it, oh, now this is completely wrong. You've come in here, cap in hand, and all that. You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, because you actually say, don't say sorry.
Yeah.
It's the worst advice.
I know. Yeah, the worst thing you do is say sorry. You know what I mean? Scott, you kind of, you know, you've got to blame it on her. You make her feel good. I can't even remember what we say in that. I know we
as long as those lines.
Yeah, it's all that kind of thing, isn't it? Of like, you know, don't go capping and answer it like a lap dog and all this. You know, you've got to kind of, that's no good. Yeah. And then, of course, when she comes down, he's over there. And we're like, I think you can see me and Craig behind.
Yeah, Jim. You can.
So I think I'm doing like a, he's like a lap dog.
That's right.
Like an expression. And I don't, I'm not sure what Joe's doing. I think we're just looking, their eyes, we're looking at him thinking, wow, what a waste. All that advice and look at you.
Yeah. However, I think he's obviously ignored the advice and it works. So I think
I mean, he took our advice, or he didn't even take our advice. Well, I think he did, because he sort of didn't tell her, which we were like, oh, you don't want to tell her. You know, you just know we'll have been saying, look, you don't have to tell her. Just say we're going out on a thing and then go to the strip club. She'll never have to know, blah, blah, blah. All that only with us. And he's taken that advice slightly, but he shouldn't have a chance to tell her. And then it's got him in the shit anyway. So he's thinking, you know, why would anyone take our advice?
Yeah. And the lead up into Liam coming in is you and Joe talk about an alibi for Duffy. So, like, it just really compounds the fact how bad the advice is.
Oh, is that what we're saying about, you know, get everybody, like I did, everybody shouting for you, thinking you're great and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, there's that as well.
Yeah, get one of your mates in on the phone.
Yeah.
Ring her up. All right, babe. You know what I mean? Like you're having a great time. Get one of your mates in the background shouting, saying for you, giving it how great you are, but don't overdo it, you're not Elvis.
Yeah.
But really, I think you're crying your Scottish eyes.
That's right, yeah. That's right.
quite you're sat in your bed seat with your, I think you, is it your meal for one, crying your bawling your Scottish
chicken ball. Chicken meal for one or something like that. Yeah.
Bawling your Scottish eyes out. Why are your Scottish eyes out? I don't know. Anyway, no idea. It just sounds funnier. You know, some expressions just, you know, and we would crack up at stuff like that, even though it's not, you know, it's not like a laugh out funny thing, but it just sounds funny when you say it. You know, when you say it a few times in the scene, you know, there. I remember laughing at that and having to retake it. Bawling your Scottish eyes out. And like, you know, you start to think of the words really. It's like, why Scottish eyes? What difference does that make? But anyway, crazy.
So there's probably four more main scenes. This one really flies over and there's so much happens, even though you're only in one room and two other side rooms. But this scene is a bit quieter upstairs, and it's Jean, Rita, on her own, and she's praying before bed.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which is actually, she's already actually spoke to Mel and saying she's going to have a light supper. It was two cream cakes from Greg's.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it's from Greg's, but it looks like the ones you get from Greg's.
Yeah. They're great, then.
But that praying scene is some great writing, because it is nice, and she's saying, God bless Ken and her husband, and then songs of praise and how much she loves Crete. But like, it's almost that she's manipulating God, if you believe in that sort of thing. Like, I'm sorry that I didn't see
songs of praise.
But don't let us spoil my Crete holiday.
It's like she says to him, I mean, she praises God, doesn't she? You've made the local. She talks about Crete again, doesn't she?
Remember.
You made the locals very friendly over there. Well done.
Well done.
No, like she's giving God. It's like, you know, she's omnipresent. It's like, you know what I mean? She's giving God a pat on the back.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what? In what world? Well, in her world, isn't it? Mm-hmm. But I do love that scene. I think
it's very well written.
Thank you, bud. I think it's really hard to play a scene as well like that.
Yeah.
Because you're bouncing between the comedy and then the poignancy of it. Mm-hmm. And I think Rita did that just brilliantly, you know, and say hello to my Jimmy, I miss him. And then, you know, it goes from all the stuff about, you know, oh, I do miss Harry. Say hello to him when you get a chance. You know, I used to love him. on a cobbled street outside a church somewhere, singing his little Welsh head off.
Yeah, little Welsh head off.
and again, there's something. I mean, I don't know. I mean, obviously, a lot of people these days can't remember Highway, but that's what it was. It opened with Harry singing, once again, the highway, and all that. And then, hey, let there be peace on earth. And he'd be outside some church every time, some church, with a cobble street or something. I'm in Colchester this week, and then he'd be off.
Mm-hmm.
So there was, but I love the way that, I mean, it's similar to, you know, which came later, actually, than Early Doors, the Queen of Sheba. You know,
right? Yeah. Of course.
Where the Nana and the thing, it's funny, and then it goes into the poignancy of it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you'll notice. Actually, funnily enough, I've never really thought about the two, but I'm pretty sure that it's a one take on Rita as well. I don't think the camera moves.
No.
And it's the same if you look at the Queen of Sheba when it's Barbara and Nana.
Yeah.
It's single camera shot. The camera never cuts. It mm-hmm. stays there the whole time. And there's something nice about you just observing some lovely moment she's having with God. And you see really how much she does love Ken and Mel. Because you don't actually see that because like lots of families, you know, mine included, not my daughters, but my parents' generation,
mm-hmm.
They don't express that to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So you see that side of her when she says, I mean, the last line of that when she says, and don't, you know, good luck to Melanie. I hope she finds a real dad, but don't let them I remember this because I really love the line, you know, but don't mm-hmm. let him get too close as that would break his heart and that would break mine. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? I just think that's, you know, that just shows you, it sums it up really in kind of one mm-hmm. sentence, you know. And that's the, you know, great thing, I think, about the thing that I like about comedies is that the even the characters, that you like Jean, sometimes you think, oh, she's a right manipulative cow, which she can be, and she is.
Mm-hmm.
But she's also got that side to her, which is actually really loving. And, and that, I think when you can get that, I think you've got, and you can get, and your people, that's why people love it. That's why people really like Early Doors and why we're talking about it over 20 years afterwards. You know, I've not watched it, but I've seen the advert for, is it the Queen of Oz? It's Catherine Tate's new thing.
I've only seen the advert. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not. Why would you want to watch that? Because it's just a woman screaming and like a, you know, and she just looks like a hateful character. And I don't want to spend time with somebody. I mean, I like Catherine Tate, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to watch something for half an hour where I'm irritated by what they're doing or feel like there's nothing redeemable about them. Maybe I'm speaking too soon because maybe as the series pans out, there will be something redeemable about her.
Yeah, and that's the arc of it, maybe. I don't know. Maybe. I haven't watched it, yeah.
But I think that is one of the things why the likes of Porridge, Fools and Horses, I mean, Royal Family, I mean, I put ourselves into that category on a, in that we try to have that balance of, you know, comedy, poignancy and reality, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a nice, I keep saying this word like I'm clever, but I'm not. Nice juxtaposition with what's going on downstairs because people are pissed, basically.
Well, exactly, yeah. That's the other thing is, yeah. But in a way as well, I think, Ben, sometimes you've got all that going on, and as an audience, you sort of you need a breather from it. Mm-hmm. I mean, because we're in one room,
mm-hmm.
we've basically got nowhere to. I mean, yeah, we talk to the cops, but we're in that room, aren't we? It's all kind of high spirits.
Yeah.
So sometimes you just need a little breather and a break from that. So to go from all that to this old woman kneeling by a bed in the sort of moonlight praying. It's like you couldn't get two more extremes, could you?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, for a change of pace, I'm going to skip past a scene and cobble it together with another one.
Go on then.
But Eddie and Joan and Tommy, again, sitting together.
Yeah.
And they're just talking about, I don't know why they call them temporary traffic lights. been up for a month. Joan's mom's cats doesn't look after herself. Yeah. A flannel watch. Oh, that's so much.
Yeah.
So I could probably talk about a whole episode just on that. 4 minutes. Well, three minutes. It's rancid. Mark's rancid. Delivery is class.
Rancid.
But the bit I think people remember the most is the tortoise.
Oh, yeah.
If it did wake up, how would it get off the
mantelpiece?
I mean,
that's Craig's line. I remember him saying that and just laughing my head off and giving it, oh, mate, that's great. I just felt like, because he said, you know, but even when it does wake up, how's it going to get off the mantelpiece? Just the idea. Mm-hmm. She thinks it's dead. So rather, he just stuck it on the mantelpiece. I just thought it was a very real, you know, that's just great. But I love that. Yeah, that's a great line. But I like all that. The whole stuff about her, I think, is really funny. But if you saw it, it'd repulse you, wouldn't it? If you actually saw that, or you'd feel sorry for her, I think, but the fact that he's reporting about, you know, mm-hmm. Smelly Nelly, they call her.
Yeah.
Know, kids are, how do you know that? Well, he'd written it on a door in big letters. You know, it's just...
yeah.
And again, we all know that kind of, you know, you see people in the, you know, it is... Everybody knows that one, that person that's slightly kind of not looking after themselves as they should, and they're going around. But it's funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It is. Okay, so I'm going to combine two scenes before the very last one. Actually, quickly, some of the music choices in this episode are really good because it's lively. There's a jukebox on. So
oh, yeah. Strokes,
Flaming Lips.
Yeah.
Very good music. Who had the say on the music choices?
We did.
Yeah.
Yeah, we always pick the music. Mm-hmm. So we would try different music in it, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. A lot of the times you can't even, you know, think Doves are in, I'm not sure if they're in this episode, but there'd be songs that we liked, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that suited. When I say that we liked, of course, Miss You Nights by Cliff Richard. You know, not necessarily saying, you know, we like that. But we'd always pick, because it's just the background music as well, we'd always try and pick something that was a bit, you know, that we liked, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was us.
Class. I mean, you might not get the Strokes last night now, but that's a fortune to put in the music into TV.
Oh, yeah, it was, yeah. Brilliant song, though.
Yeah, he probably caught it at the right time.
Yeah, I think it first come out, actually.
More or less, yeah. Yeah. It was back in the 2001, so it probably would have been similar.
Top tune, yeah.
Yes, so Liam's getting more advice, and one of the well-known Joe lines, it's not a line, it's like a paragraph. Have you been worm your way back in? Outside of work, the police knocking at your door. No further question. He gets really into it, Craig. Like, really into it.
Yeah.
And then they get into the whole Ibiza, Fat Boy Slim, and DJing bit.
Oh, yeah.
And Joe's description of a DJ. I used to DJ quite regularly. Not so much parties, because they were like this. Just mainly clubs, indie clubs, not get any ideas, it was fancy. So anyway, they have it gives the rundown of a night, let the ghetto settle, and the songs he's picking are atrocious in places.
But if you go to a family do, or you go to a wedding, or back in the day, I mean, I think probably But back in our, you know, there were always those, you know, it's like, you know, there is, in what he's saying, because Craig used to DJ, and he used to have the rum, he called it the rum, and we used to take the piss out of him. And, but yeah, he used to have the rum. And so this is more or less, you know,
yeah,
experience talking.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, all this, you know, Dexys and all that, and, you know.
Yeah, that's good.
The line I like from that is when he says, I mean, I not like Fat Boy Slim. I've had to get them up when they don't want to dance, when they're too full from the buffy. It's just, you know, he's a different league, a different thing altogether, but it's a lovely line, I think.
Yeah. And he goes into the smoochies, which is a funny word in general, or the erection section.
Yeah.
And I'd put money on this that James McAvoy that's a genuine laugh. It's him laughing, not Liam laughing.
Yeah.
He smiles. It's like a real laugh.
Yeah.
And the work just dried up. So that was actually experience from Craig, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's good. I think if you look as well, I sort of realise he's gone too far. I'm not sure if it's in that bit, but certainly, I think there's two occasions in it where I'm sort of like a little bit in limbo thinking, uh-oh. I mean, the bit when he said, like you said before, when he's talking about stalking the girl and spray painting, does he say something like putting graffiti on her front door? I'm sure there's something in there about it. Mm-hmm. No, and being, have you had the police knocking at your door asking to leave her alone? No further questions. I think I sort of look a bit, uh-oh.
Almost like you actually didn't know that part of the story.
Yeah, it's like, oh, right, oh, I didn't know that. That's a new one. I'm sort of looking a bit like, not sure. It's just, yeah.
It's also that Friday night-ness again.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, it all comes out.
Like, normally they've had maybe a pint and a half by this point in an episode, but they've had a skinful in this one.
Yeah.
And we've mentioned about the football card and the shit house, the WC. And then we actually get a two of the regiment at that point. Didn't have one in episode 3, but we do have one there.
Yeah.
But then Mel comes back from a night out and she's not caught in the rain, and she's got a brolly.
Yeah.
And she's like, her makeup's all flawless still.
Well, exactly. See, that's what's great. Because, I mean, she's all looking gorgeous, and he's there looking all bedraggled, and we're there giving it the old, oh, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But everyone's singing Can't Smile Without You. And But I quite like that. When you first start seeing someone, and that uncles and that pals, dad's pals give you shit.
Yeah.
It's part and parcel that you have to deal with, I'm afraid.
It is.
It's just that in the pub and there's more of them.
Well, that's exactly it. I think you get the feeling in that pub that everybody knows what's gone. Well, in fact, I'm sure you're watching, you think, well, everybody must know what's gone on. Because we'll be telling everybody, you know what I mean? There's nobody in the pub, oh yeah, they finished that until they've seen him come in. So when it starts, it only takes one person to start. It's like with everything else, isn't it? Everyone's jumping on the bandwagon. You all want to kind of have a, you know, nobody's sort of saying everything, but everybody knows. So as soon as we start giving it, you know I can, and the next thing, everybody's at it, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Brilliant. But some lovely groveling acting from James McAvoy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But because Ken comes back upstairs and there's two final bits.
Oh, yeah.
He just says 10 minutes, Ken. The tone he uses, the brass neck of him. You've got to applaud the confidence. I would never have spoken to someone's dad like that. I'll be 10 minutes, Ken. It's like, whoa.
Yeah.
You kind of beat it. But I guess the last laugh, because he's just leaves a dope as a massive piss and farts at the end when he says I love him.
But it's again using your juxtaposition word.
Mm-hmm.
You got what is trying to be a kind of get back together scene where it's all sort of quite tender, and he's trying to be, you know, apologize and all that, and in the background you just got her dad having the piss like the store's horse, isn't he? He's like, yeah. You know what I mean? He's just there. It's just like, and it's that proper dad piss, isn't it? That yeah. just lasts forever, you know. Yeah. And then it stops, and then you think, and then it goes again.
Yeah. And there's a great Easter egg in there as well, of the you can hear the inhaler.
Yeah.
Because she now thinks Creep might be off.
Yeah.
They're back together, exactly. Even though she's just been praying to God.
Yeah. Yeah, because she's there, isn't she, having a little listen?
Yeah, I can't help myself.
Yeah, she can't help it, yeah. No, it's... Do you know, it's funny, really. I think a lot of people, again, they have the preconception about Early Doors that there's not a lot goes on. You know, it's just people sat in a pub talking, which it is, essentially. But that doesn't necessarily mean there's not a lot going on. So, like, in that episode, it's just going all over the place, but mm-hmm. in one location, and all in half an hour as well.
Yeah.
It's kind of, it is that, you know, looking back on it now, just talking about it then, I don't realise how much is actually going on. You know, I've forgotten about all the, everybody's doing something in that episode, mm-hmm. aren't they? Everybody's stories are going on, left, right, and centre.
Yeah, because Tanya's talking about leaving out clothes for Ken.
Yeah, stuff like yeah, that, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think we have got it. Oh, that's right, yeah. You put your sailor suit out and that's all right. That kind of mm-hmm. stuff.
Well, that's the thing, because I write the notes, when I watch the episode, it's hard to keep up. Even though, like, as you say, people might think there's not a lot going on, but there's too much, trust us, yeah. when you're trying to write it out, there's too much going on.
In a way, I think as well, that's why, because a lot of, you know, people say to me, oh, you know, they watch it again and again.
Mm-hmm.
And people, you know, I've heard lots of people say, and obviously on Twitter and stuff, how that people take it away on holiday, and when they've had a few drinks, they'll come back and watch it again. Or, you know, if they're a bit down or whatever, they'll watch it, which is great. You know, it's a lovely thing to know. But I think it is that thing that, you know, and that because you're laughing or thinking you're amused by one thing, you can miss something somewhere else.
Yeah.
Or you know, you have a favourite line, but then you miss some of the others' lines. So it's really, it is... It's really nice of it that you know, people just still sort of come back to it. It's almost like, you know, it's that, like that thing after the pub, going home or on holiday, thinking, oh yeah, we'll take Early Doors with us. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, I used to take the Beach Boys with me. You know, not right. the actual Beach Boys, obviously, yeah. but you know, just Brian. But
yeah, you couldn't get out of the house, could you?
But you know what I mean. First thing I was getting a holiday was put the Beach Boys' Greatest Hits on.
Mm-hmm.
People have those routines, don't they, of doing all, you know, and people, that's why, you know, a lot of younger people in the, you know, people in 20s and 30s go, oh, you know, we love Early Doors, and mum and dad loved it, and, you know, I used to play it, and then we've got into it, and it is funny, isn't it, how you sort of, you without realising it, you know, you're making really nice memories for people, so.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
it's cool.
Excellent. Well, that's a great place to finish up.
Oh, yeah, it was very good.
Yeah,
that
it was, yeah, very poignant.
Very poignant. I should have. I'll try and do that every week.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
Thanks very much for listening. Remember, thanks. Always to get us on Instagram, email, Twitter, and leave a review and a comment.
And let people know. Yeah. Okay, nice. Well, I will. I'll do all of those things.
Yeah, I'm talking exactly. I'm just. Directly.
Just talk to me, aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Excellent.
Right. Oh, brilliant.
Thanks very much, and I'll speak to you soon.
Yeah. Have a nice weekend.
You too.
Take care. Take care, everyone.
Hiya, I'm Maxine Peake. I play Janice, and I'll be on the show next week.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.